Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. This week on the podcast, I want to talk to you about 20 different tasks that you can do in 5 minutes. I know very often I'm telling you to set aside 15 minutes, an hour, half a day, a whole day to get something organized. Or I'm a really big proponent of setting aside my whole Sunday so that my household runs smoothly for the week, or doing all of your mail on Sunday in the Sunday basket. But today I want to talk to you about 20 tasks that I do that take 5 minutes or less. And while your tasks may be different than mine, having this list and knowing what you can get done in 5 minutes or less will really help you be more productive and get done some of these routine, everyday type tasks in those little nuggets of time that you have throughout the day and throughout the week, which will allow you to have 15 minutes, an hour, half a day to do some bigger project maybe on the weekend. None of these things are going to be things you haven't thought of. And I really would encourage you at the end to sit down and make your own list of 20 or more things that you do on a regular basis that you could just do in 5 minutes or less. When you have a list like this and you're waiting for your kids and you have 5 or 10 minutes, you can glance at your list and then knock a couple of things out, which will free up your weekend. So number one is to start a load of laundry. I love to start a load of laundry in the morning, so after I'm done getting the kids to school, it's ready to go in the dryer. Anytime I could get any of my machines working for me, the washing machine, the dryer, any of those type of machines, doing what they need to be doing, then that saves me time. The second one is emptying the dishwasher. So to go and make a habit to go and empty the dishwasher, we don't run it every day. So if I have 5 minutes and I notice that the dishwasher is clean and full, I will empty it. Number three is to fold a load of laundry. Now, sometimes the laundry gets done, but I don't necessarily fold it. So every once in a while, I'll just go in and I'll fold a load of laundry. And our laundry room is right near our garage. So especially if I'm waiting to take the kids somewhere, I will go and fold a load of laundry while I'm waiting for them. Number four is to clean off the kitchen counter. I'm always looking at the flat spaces in our house and moving things off of those, off of the kitchen counters, off of the kitchen table. My kids each have a bucket in the kitchen, so I could just dump their things in their bucket, and Greg and I each have a spot on the kitchen counter so I can stack things up in that area. Number five is to do the dishes. So if I have 5 minutes, I might do the dishes. And number six is to clean out a shelf in the pantry. So you could tell almost all of mine are kitchen related. So I'm usually standing in the kitchen waiting for someone, and this is another thing I'll do. If all of my other chores in the kitchen and laundry room are done, then I might open up a cabinet and just clean out one shelf or one shelf in the pantry. Number seven is to empty all the trash cans. And I probably do this every 2 to 3 days. I will notice that one of the trash cans is full upstairs or downstairs, and then I'll just take 5 minutes and go ahead and empty all of the trash either on whatever floor of the house I'm on. Number eight is to pick up all the toys in the family room. So either kid toys, dog or cat toys, or just even dishes that have been laid out, to just take 5 minutes to walk around that first floor of your house and pick up everything that's been left out. Number nine, collect towels and start a load of laundry. I have this one on my list because I have teenagers, and I've mentioned before that they use a lot of towels, and I want to always make sure that we have something for them to cover their body with. So if I have an extra 5 minutes and everything else seems to be done, I'll walk upstairs and collect all of the dirty towels and just start a load of laundry. Number 10 is to vacuum a room. Like, I know right now if I went in and vacuumed Joey's room, he'd be so happy because he spilled all these popcorn kernels in there. So if I had 5 minutes, I might go do that. Number 11 is a great one to do in the car or you're waiting in a line. Go ahead and delete all the email from your phone or delete the saved voicemail messages. I know my phone stops taking messages if I don't delete the past messages. Number 12 is to change your furnace filter. Now that's on my monthly list that I made for you guys, so thank you. My furnace filter is getting changed more often, so when I see that one and I know I haven't done it for the month, I'll go change the furnace filter. Number 11 is to take items upstairs or downstairs. So if you have a basket, I have a basket in the kitchen, and I usually have a laundry basket upstairs, and I will fill that full of things, and then if I have a few minutes, I will take those either upstairs or downstairs and distribute those where they need to go. Number 14 is go through all your mail and open it and put it in the trash. So you know that I put all of my mail in the Sunday basket to go through on Sunday. But if it's Thursday night and I, you know, have 5 minutes until Greg's going to get home from work, then I might flip through that Sunday basket and pull some of the mail out and open it up so that there's not as much to do on Sunday. Number 15 is to write a thank you note. Number 16 is to book a doctor's appointment. And now that I'm reading this, I remember that the kid's dentist, texted me to make an appointment, which, by the way, is a very bad plan because I remember it because I'm talking to you, but as soon as I'm done with the podcast, I will forget. And text messages, once you read them, they don't show as unread anymore, and it's not a great reminder thing. So if you text people something you want them to do for you and they haven't done it within 24 hours, send them a follow-up email or text because they don't see it. So anyway, you could go through your text and actually read what you're forgetting to do, like me, or set up a doctor's appointment. Number 17 is to refill the soap dispensers. So I keep our extra soap refill in our laundry room. And so once a week, I'll walk around and fill all of the soap dispensers in all the bathrooms and in the kitchen. Number 18 is to clean out one drawer. And that means don't like empty the whole drawer out if you only have 5 minutes, but look inside the drawer and see if you can find 5 or 10 things that you don't need in there anymore. Number 19 is to shred paper. I remember when I was getting my paper organized, the two shred pile got very, very large. And so I was always shredding paper whenever I had some extra time. And number 20 is to put away 10 things. So go try to find 10 things that are not in their proper home and put them away. All right, so that's a pretty quick podcast for you, a pretty quick list of things you can do. You know, this whole idea of getting organized and living a more organized and productive life is all about making these tiny changes in your habit over time. So for so many podcasts, I've been telling you to set aside all that time on Sunday to do the Sunday basket, or think about streamlining many of your household tasks on Sunday. While it's overwhelming to do a lot on Sunday, then the rest of your week goes more smoothly and you have less to do during the week. But along the lines, it's not an all or nothing. So you still are going to have some tasks that you're going to want to do during the week. Just like I said, I will go through an open mail that's in my Sunday basket, even though I know that I'm going to do that on Sunday. And that allows me to make my Sunday basket process time go faster and be less overwhelming and just stay on top of the mail. But at the same time, if I have a really busy week, I don't worry about it because I know that I'm going to get that done on Sunday. So I don't really have to worry that it's not getting done. It's just an extra bonus. Also, while I love to do my laundry all on one day, I do a couple of loads of laundry throughout the week. And as I fit those into my schedule, it is just taking those 5 minutes to put everything in the washing machine. And then a couple hours later, the 5 minutes to move it to the dryer. And then a couple hours later, the 5 minutes it takes to fold all that laundry and another 5 to 10 minutes to put it all away. Your list is going to be different based on what stage of life you're in and what stage of organizing you're in. Let's say you're in the first stage of organizing where you are 100% completely overwhelmed and you're in the accumulation survival downsize phase. It doesn't matter. You are completely overwhelmed by your house and the amount that is in your house. Then every spare 5 minutes that you have, I would just be walking around with a black bag and trying to donate more and more things. Like if you have 10 minutes before you have to leave for an appointment, set a timer and go see how many things you could put in the donation bag in that 10 minutes. And just focus on that all the time. Like every time you have 5 to 10 minutes, go in a different room and see if you can add more to your bag. When you organize that way, when you just take little 5 and 10 minute stints to find things that you want to donate, as you walk into that room and you're just thinking, oh, I only have 5 minutes and I'm just finding things I'm going to donate, your brain will process faster and will scan the room and help you eliminate 5, 10, 15, 20 items in just that 5 minutes. If you say, I have an hour and I'm going to go in this room and I'm going to find what I need to donate, it may take you an hour and you only donate maybe 60 things. So tasks will expand to the time that you allot them. And a lot of times, you know, we don't want to get rid of the things that we have. We either paid good money for them, or we might have a use for them in the future. Or what if that person comes over that gave you that gift and they want to ask about it? There's just a lot of guilt and thoughts that go into the things that we're going to get rid of. And when you do it in a short amount of time like that, then your brain doesn't get to process all of those thoughts because it's so focused on just getting the task done in a short amount of time. So if you are in an overwhelmed state like this, I would encourage you to take, you know, 2 or 3 times a day where you just take 5 minutes and go into a space and eliminate the things that are in that space. Let's say you're in the second stage of organizing. You're not as overwhelmed. You've gotten rid of the majority of the things that you don't need anymore, but your spaces are not organized. Like, in the room is what you need to be in the room, but not everything has a place, and you haven't really figured out your systems yet. Then for you, I would suggest that you go in that room that you're going to organize maybe later this week, or it's on your list if you're in the 40 weeks or the 100-day challenge, and you know this is the space that you're going to organize this week. Walk in, and in 5 minutes, just say to yourself, what are 3 things that are working in this space, and what are 2 things that are not working in this space? And really just look around, think, and then leave the space. Because then when you're driving in the car, taking the dog for a walk, you know, you're not in that space, your mind will keep processing those questions for you and give you better solutions. You might come up with a great solution while you're not actually in the space. So taking those 5 or 10 minute chunks of time that you have and continually walking into that space that you're working on this week and just saying, okay, what is working? What isn't working? What is working? What isn't working? And then think about why the things are working the way they're working. So here's an example. In the 100-day challenge last week, we were talking about, my idea of drink cabinets. So in a kitchen, and this happens, I don't know, we just drink a lot of our calories. Babies only drink formula, and teenagers have power drinks that they do and smoothies, and most people when they're over a certain age are all drinking coffee, and then you have juices and sodas and water, and there's just a lot of different kinds of drinks that are in a kitchen, and typically different family members have different tastes. Like my son will drink water or root beer, and my daughter likes Gatorade and fruit juices, you know, and then Greg and I will have the occasional alcoholic beverage also. And we went through a smoothie stint for a while, and I have to have my coffee. And you could see how many different drinks this is. When I look at our grocery bill, a large percentage of our grocery bill is liquids that we buy. I know, we could save a lot more money if we drank a lot more water. And we even buy bottled water. So lots of issues. But when you think about the kitchen and you think about the cabinets that are there, you have dishes and you have bowls and you have cups. But when you have cups, you usually have plastic cups, glass cups, mugs, travel mugs, water bottle, you know, the plastic water bottles that you refill, wine glasses, other kind of drink glasses, holiday glasses. There's just a lot. There's a lot of drinking implements in your kitchen. So what I usually suggest, and this is in the 100-day challenge, is that you go ahead and you put all of those glasses in one cabinet. So all of the glasses and the mugs in one cabinet on shelves 2 and 3. And then on the first shelf, you put in everything that goes in those glasses. So if your family likes hot chocolate and coffee and drink mixes, powdered drink mixes and smoothie mixes, those are all on the first shelf in the cabinet. And then above that are the favorite glasses that everyone in the family uses all the time. Maybe that's a couple Tervis tumblers, a couple water bottles, a couple to-go coffee cups, and a certain kind of glasses that they like. And then on the top shelf are your second favorites. Like if those are all in the dishwasher, then yes, we use a mug on occasion, or there's another set of glasses, but they're not our favorite. And so those are on the top shelf. And usually I like to locate this cabinet not in the kitchen, in the kitchen triangle cooking zone, so that people can come in and get all of their drink needs met without getting in the way of whoever's cooking. And I find that this tends to be more important, or work better, I should say, in a kitchen for somebody that is in the survival phase of life. So in the survival phase of life is typically when you have kids that are middle school, high school, college. Everybody's on the go all the time, which means they make a smoothie to go in the morning as their breakfast and take a coffee with them and maybe something in a water bottle for a snack later, you know, a drink to have later. And then when they come home, you know, they make some other kind of drink, and they can be doing that at a different counter or a different area in the kitchen than the person who is doing the meal prep. In the downsizing phase of life, you tend to have a lot of glasses and mugs that you need when people come over on holidays or on the weekends, but during the day, it's just usually you or you and your spouse or just a couple people at home, so you don't tend to have as many glasses needs on a regular basis. And in the accumulating phase of life, it's a lot of bottles and sippy cups and then regular drinks. But I don't remember drinking as many different options. Like when I was in the accumulating phase, well, I pretty much just drank Coca-Cola. That's all I drank. But now I drink bottled water, occasional wine, sometimes soda. I have this sport drink that I really like, coffee. So I personally have like five or six different things that I drink every single week. When I was in the accumulating phase of life, it was just Coke. That's all I drank was just Coke. So I didn't need as many options. I didn't need as many glasses. Okay, so all that to say, if you are working on your kitchen and you're looking in your kitchen, how I came up with this drink cabinet idea was I was organizing so many women in the survival phase of life that had a whole bunch of teenagers, and you know, they and their spouse worked, so everybody was in and out of the house all the time. I realized that they needed two whole cabinets designated just to drinks, and we would actually do one that was kid related and one that was adult related, because even if multiple people drink coffee or multiple people do smoothies, they don't necessarily like the same cup that they drink them out of. Like everybody kind of has their own cups. And so that's when I found that we needed to do that. So when you're working on the kitchen and you're spending your 5 or 10 minutes and you're looking in the kitchen, you're saying what's working, what's not working. That's when I said what's not working is there are drink items in every single cabinet. Like this one had mugs and coffee, and that one had the smoothie stuff was in a spinner on the bottom, and it was just everywhere. And if I could put everything in one area, that would help the flow of the kitchen and organization, which it did. And then if you're in the Pinterest organizing phase of life, that's when you might go into the space and say, okay, this is all working. Everything looks great. This is when you might go into a room and say, okay, I want to change up the color scheme in here. And when I'm at the store, I'm going to find a whole bunch of navy paint swatches, which is what I did this summer, and put them up on the wall and decide what color I want to do in here and then go get the paint and start painting. Or you might open up your cabinets and say, okay, I like all this, but I would really love it if, I wonder if that plastic thing I saw at the store the other day would fit in this pantry. So you might take some measurements and write those and put those in your wallet or put those in your purse. So those are a couple of different things you can do in your 5 or 10 minutes in your organizing based on what stage of organizing you're in. And the three stages of organizing are overwhelmed, which is when everything is a junk drawer and you don't even know where to start. Stage two is when you have gotten rid of the majority of the things that you want to donate, but you don't really have organizational systems in place yet. But you have less stuff, so now you can start to see the bottom of your closet, so you can think about how you can organize that better. And then stage three is the third time you go through any of these whole house organizing challenges, and that's when you're able to say, okay, this, now it's organized, let's make it mine. Like, let's make it my style, and let's make it pretty, and it's already functionally organized, but let's make it aesthetically organized for you. All right, your task today is to go make your list of things that you can do in 5 minutes, and I just keep my list right on the kitchen counter where my Sunday basket is, and if I have some extra time, I don't need the list anymore, but if I have extra time, I'm always running through. Is there anything I can do in the laundry room? Anything I can do in the kitchen? Anything I can pick up? Anything I can clean? Then that way, I don't have to spend a lot of my bulk time doing those everyday repetitive tasks.